Well, good morning. I invite y'all to turn to Colossians chapter 3. The passage is also there in your bulletin. Colossians 3, 1 through 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God bless the reading, hearing, and teaching of this, his holy word. How often, when you meet someone, does the topic quickly go to, Well, where are you from? Why do we do that? Why do we ask that question? Well, we want to have something to talk about, right? But maybe a little deeper, we want to know what has shaped that person. And do I have anything in common with that person based on their past history, their upbringing, people that we might know and connect with together? Where are you from? And where do you live now? Paul, in verse 3, says about Christians, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So then an answer to this question, where are you from and where do you live now? I'm from a terrible place, a city of destruction. But now, and I know it sounds crazy, but now I live in this city where the streets have no name. This is a famous song. You may have heard it, Where the Streets Have No Name by the band U2. It's the opening song on their album, The Joshua Tree. And in talking about how the song was written, Bono and his friends in the band, they noticed growing up in Dublin that certain streets where people were from made a difference. Like if you were from this certain street, then you were somebody. But if you were from these streets over here, then you were a nobody. And so they longed for, and you know the history of Ireland and Northern Ireland, and they longed for a place where the streets have no name. So they wrote a song about heaven. And the Holy Spirit is saying to us here, this is where you live. This is where your life is. This is where your life is hidden, meaning that it is kept, it is secure, it is without risk of losing. That your life is hidden with Christ in God, the most secure vault in the universe. Let's go there. And if that is where you're going to live forever, then why not live there now? Your identity and your destiny are hidden in Christ. Therefore, Paul says, live. Well, how? Well, simple. Go deep into being alive. Put to death the old self and bring to life the new self. So this outline here, first, know who you are. The right ID can get you places, right? The right identification card. And so there's talk now about a vaccination passport, right? A vaccine ID that with it, you can get in. But without it, you're forbidden. Paul is taking us deeper into what it means to be united in Christ, our identity. And the fruit of knowing this, of soaking in this, of applying this, of basking in this. Why seek the things that are above? Because Christ is your very life. What does this mean? Okay, so Paul gives just a bombardment of practical application of what it means to be united to Christ by faith. So the very first word, if. Some translations translate it since. So it's not in doubt of. It's like if this might happen. But he's saying since this is true. If this is indeed true, and it is. He's just gone through the supremacy of Christ and what salvation in Christ means. So just one tidbit from this as he goes through all the beginning of the book. Look at chapter 2, verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, you've been made alive. You've been made alive. Then you have been raised with Christ. This is what happened to you, to all of you, by faith in Jesus. By faith, and you are trusting in Christ, you're alive. You've been raised. Then seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Seek, the verb tense there, it is requiring an ongoing effort. Okay? Something that would not just naturally occur. So he's calling us to this, calling to seek. And so this is all about your heart intention, getting down into the motives. Getting out down into your desires. What are you seeking? What are you pursuing? What is the bent of your heart? Let the eyes of your hearts be enlightened to see the supremacy of Christ and what this means for you practically. So set your minds, he keeps going, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Paul is repetitive so that we get the import of this. If ever there was a year for us to lose focus, for us to get distracted, for us to get our eyes off of Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and to get our eyes focused on the things of this world, it's been this year, right? For you have died. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. As stark of language as possible as Paul could get to enable us to see how vital this is. You have died. And so he's speaking into the tension of the already and the not yet. Okay. You have already died and you have been raised. You are with Christ. But the full completion of that, the consummation of it, we still wait on. Okay. What has already happened has not yet been fully revealed. And there's tension in that that I am not going to resolve for you. Because I don't know how. Okay. And so this is classic biblical Pauline language. By earthly things, Paul means our pre-Christian motivations, our allegiances, our priorities before Christ. Those are dead. And your new life, your real life, your true nature is with Christ in God. That's who you really are. And this phrase then, with Christ, it expresses this intimate, personal union of the believer with Christ. And so look at how Paul illuminates this. Being hidden with Christ in God, verse 4, means that when Jesus returns, being raised from the dead is just the beginning. I mean, we think that's pretty cool. I mean, we're going to be raised from the dead, but it's somehow much more than just resurrection from the dead. See, it's the manifestation of the full flowering of the hidden life. The hidden life in Christ, which we get a taste of now, will be fully, there's not even words for it. We're just going to have our, you know, mouths dropped open for, you know, the first half of eternity. I mean, it's just amazing. Some of you remember as a kid, I mean a little kid, you meeting and discovering connections with relatives. You knew that this when this guy and your mom hung out together and you went to visit and they had a good time together and they laughed a whole lot and they laughed differently than anybody else in your family would laugh with them, and you're like, why is my mom have such a connection with this guy? And then as you get older, as your little kid, something clicks in you. Oh, that's my mom's brother. That's what my uncle means. And they have this connection that I knew something about, but it was hidden to me. But then when it became fully revealed, something clicked, something connected, right? What was known but hidden became real. And so similarly, there's something of what we know now of our union with Christ. And we enjoy fellowship with Him. We enjoy communion with Him and assurance and peace. But what we know and experience now is still just a taste of what the future holds. And so when you know who you are, when you know where you live and where you used to live, and where you live now, and where you are going, then what Paul says here next is practical meat and joy to you to receive. Okay? But if you miss this, or if it's awry, then you will fall into error and sin. You'll get lost. The poet N.F. artist has a poem called Lost. When I'm lost, my pride is everything to me. And I withdraw into self-protection and I exude anger. See, when you're lost. But when your ID is, I'm in Christ, I'm with Christ, and it's confirmed and sure to you, then what do? Verse 5. You kill the old self. So since you are alive, kill the old self. This means attack to the death. The independent, greedy self. So the first three words here in verse 5 are related to sexual sin. Any sexual activity outside the bounds of marriage. And the remaining two words in verse 5 are related to greed. So as Clint was alluding to earlier, as we were confessing our sins, these are rooted in the primacy of self, of the capital S self. If all that matters to me is me, then I grasp and I grab in order to get what I can for myself. And so this is the root of idolatry, worship and devotion and allegiance to anything else other than God is really worship of self. This is what it means then to give in to the earthly, right? To give in to the fleshly nature that is opposed to God. And these next five that are found in verse 8, these are acts and attitudes related to the deliberate intention to harm someone else. Okay. Outbursts of a quick temper, the rage of anger, malicious gossip, what longtime Southerners might call being ugly. These things must be put away. See, that's not who you are any longer. And whenever these vile behaviors do show up, what do you do? We attack them for what they are. Enemies, imposters, robbers. See? These are behaviors that are rooted in the old self. This way of behaving is not who you are. You can't act this way. You are loved. You are new. Somehow you've just lost sight of what Christ has accomplished and who you are in Christ. And by the way, this is a wonderful tool for practical parental discipline of our children. Son, daughter, you live in a home where Jesus reigns. And he calls us to deep trust and belief in him and his way of living, which is for our good. And so we, but you, my son, my daughter, and me and your mom, we need his supernatural power to put off these vile behaviors and turn to him for life-giving supernatural power to live the way he wants us to live. And so this is not moralism, and son, you better do right or else. No. It's the supernatural fruit of what the gospel does in a heart that is surrendering to these truths. And that brings me to make sure that I point out what is in this passage throughout. Paul is just assuming it, and you see it in his language, the vital, essential need for community. Okay, so all of the yous, Y-O-U-S, in, or Y-O-U, whatever, in here are y'alls. I can speak Southern, but I can't speak Greek. Okay, these are all plurals. Okay, your local church provides accountability to stem your natural tendency to verse 11. Verse 11 is exceptionalism. I'm exceptional and they're not. And tribalism. For here at Altadena, there are no cliques. There are no clubs. There are no colors. There are no castes that keep us from one another. Or if they are, they are lovingly, gently called out. And then Paul gives more fuel to this truth of no cultural, no socioeconomic separations within the church community. Christ is all and in all. And there's more fuel in these next verses. So know who you are. Kill the old self. And lastly, nourish the new self. Bring it to life. Fan it into flame. Nurture it with great attentiveness. How? With two main tools. Forgiveness and thankfulness. You are who you are. Look, chosen, holy, beloved. And you put on all these character attributes of compassion, humility, kindness, meekness, patience. You put these on because you have been forgiven. Your forgiveness is based on your identity. So like everything here, we are called to put on, they flow out of who you are. The Spirit is calling out of us what He has already put in us. See? You are God's special one. You are the ones who have been made right with God. You are holy. You are loved. I know this is ridiculous foolishness, but it gets better. But this is the wonder of the simple gospel. In Christ, you are His favorite. Let's have shouting matches out in the parking lot. I'm His favorite. No, I am. And then just laughing hilariously over the ridiculousness of this. Okay. It's right there. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 15. We are one body, one people who are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And so the commands, these hard commands, putting things to death, killing them, and fanning into flame, bringing into life, paying attention to it, working hard at it to bring these things to life, are hard. The command is not do this because it's good morally and socially to be like this. Or that by doing this, you can finally earn God's love. No. These imperatives are here because they flow out of the indicatives, like in all of the Bible. See? This is who you are. Now be who you are. And as someone who spent 13 years away from this church, and then God brought us back, hear this. The presence, just the very presence of the conflicts that I hear about in the everyday work of being a pastor, just those conflicts that I hear about bring a smile to my face. What? Yes, because you are staying in them. You're not denying them. You're not running away from them. You're not minimizing them. You're not covering them over with southern niceties. You're clothing yourselves with compassion, meekness, humility, patience. And why are you clothing yourselves this way? Clothing yourselves this way? Because you have to. There's no other way to live as the body of Christ. And how are you clothing yourselves this way? By the power of the resurrection of Christ in you, which is also your resurrection. Haha. So you know what that means. It means that you have had to die. No other way. You have had to put to death your independent nature. You're withdrawing into isolation nature. And some of you know what this means, and the smell of your death is awful. It is. But you can't shortcut this. You can't fake it. The only way to experience resurrection power that enables you to put on verse 12 is first to die and to keep dying. And see then, if you have really died to your own way, died to your prideful interpretation of how things are supposed to go, if everybody would just get on board with my way, see, then you are way, way stronger than you think you are. See? And the conflicts, the punches, the painful conversations only prove that you are. Because it's not you. It's Christ in you. It's supernatural. We forget this. It's not because we're great people and educated and socially acceptable and all that. It's Christ living in us, enabling us to destroy the dividing walls of hostility, right? And to forgive one another. Because Christ is your very life. And I wish I could put that on continuous repeat inside your heads. Christ is my very life. But I don't have to, because the Spirit has put it there already. And look at what he does in verses 15 through 17. The power of forgiveness, and then here, the power of thanksgiving. Peace and harmony and unity are all here through forgiveness and thanksgiving. So three times in these verses, thanksgiving. The Bible is so very practical. Paul is weaponizing giving thanks. Okay? It's a weapon against disunity. It's a weapon against losing focus of where you live. Now, of course, the COVID-19 shutdown had a lot of terrible things about it. But some good has come out of it. Right? Many of you forced to be at home more. Many of you have said how the great COVID shutdown has been something of a gift for which you're thankful. This is something of what it means to saturate your life into thanksgiving. Forcing yourself to slow down and see what I can be thankful for. I think it was about 15 years ago, Ann Voskamp's book, 1,000 Gifts. And she was for real, 1,000 gifts. Okay, sometimes the most simple of things. I looked out the window and saw a bird, and it made me thankful. Really? But she was serious. It was slowing down. It was seeing things with new eyes. It was finding what you can find to be thankful for. And Paul shows you how, verse 15, as the peace of Christ rules in your hearts. See? You can go deep and deeper and deeper. There's no bottom to that of finding thanksgiving. It's a weapon. And of course, in our church, we have lots of diversity of opinion about how things should go. And as Brad recently reminded us, we don't let those differences, though, divide us, right? As far as our unity, as far as our love and acceptance and forgiveness of one another. So Paul, of course, is emphasizing forgiveness, emphasizing thanksgiving as weapons against disunity. We put on these things, this compassion and kindness and humility, so that we can bear with one another, so that we can forgive each other. And why put on love? We put on love so that there's harmony between one another and in the whole church body. Why let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts? So that this forgiveness that the Lord has given you will saturate down into you. You will soak in it. I am no longer under God's wrath and curse. Really? Let that hit you again. See? I am now and forever under his smile. If you know then that you are constantly under God's smile, that his design for your life is always towards the good, see? Then nothing will move you. And before we conclude, one more admonition. To those of you who face particularly entrenched battles against these vices in verse 5 and verse 8, I implore you, I beg you to go deep into your identity, your new identity, in Christ. God can take you then into a deeper level, this is what it is, it's death, a deeper level of surrender to him in order to enable you to fight with supernatural power that comes from him, not from yourself. You are not alone in your battle against these things. He is with you. The Spirit lives in you. You are in Christ, with Christ, in God. And we, the church, are with you. So if you know where you live, if you know where you belong, and who you belong to, and if that is the biggest thing in your life, if that is what matters to you most at a heart level, then you can rise above everything else. If you live where the streets have no name, then nothing will move you. This is why Paul is so strong on calling us to seek the things that are above, so that even as you are beaten and blown by the winds, the storms of life, with your mind set on things that are above, where Christ is, where the streets have no name, where everything is set right, and there is no possibility of favoritism or greed, that is where Christ reigns, and that is where you live. Let's go there. O Lord, then, by your Spirit's power, would you root us all the more firmly and deeply in these truths of where our life really is, that we, Lord, would more and more bear this supernatural fruit that cannot come from our fleshly nature, and we would seek to put to death those things of our fleshly nature, and we would help one another in these things, not be surprised by them, but, Lord, help each other to fight, to live where you have hidden our lives with Christ in his resurrection. Make these seem all the more ridiculous to us, all the more life-giving to us, that your glory would shine and our lives would bear this beautiful fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.